Good evening. What an intimate night. I love this. It's been a while since I preached the Friday Fire. I actually preached about a month ago, I think, month or two ago. But it's always special because I know that I have a crowd that's hungry. Yeah? I mean, who will sacrifice a Friday night to come and worship and pray, right? So I love it when I come to Friday Fire because I know you're all in, right? I'll jump right into it. My aim tonight is to finish this within 35 minutes. So let's go. April 10, 2005. Myeonghwa Choi, a freshman, 1 month into her college life, came to church for the first time. Exactly 10 years ago. It was her first... Okay, no more of the, third person language. I'll throw it away. It was my first church experience ever. And I was scared. In this very sanctuary, I walked in. I sat at the very back, right in front of the AC right there. And I just sat there trembling, thinking all these people are crazy. That was my very first church experience. And within a month and a half, I actually got saved on my 19th birthday. And about 10 years have passed. And I am here as a pastor. I have done some good things through the Lord's grace, right? And I think I do have a lot of good things to share with you guys. But today, I'm going to just be really vulnerable. This is an area that I'm really working on. I'm not 100% confident in, to be honest. So I almost felt disqualified preaching this word. But I'm just going to be vulnerable myself and admit that I'm also a student of the word. And I'm also maturing and growing. So there's grace for me to release this word. So if you are ready to hear it, say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Good. I'm ready too. So I loved serving the Lord for the past decade with all of my strength, with all of my heart. I love Jesus. I love the Father God. I love the Holy Spirit. I think I matured and I grew a lot. And in my 20s, with all my strength, with my youth and zeal, I served the Lord. And I'm turning 29 very soon, reaching 30 very soon, quickly. And I think it's time for me to take it easy and calm down a little bit. No, right? No. Okay, thank you for that. No way! I'm not going to calm down. And I do believe that 30s is better than the 20s. Amen? People in the 30s, all right? A few of you that are here, minority. But that is so sad and pathetic if I ever say that. In my 20s, I will run for the Lord. In my 30s, I'll calm down a little bit. I'll have my kids and my family and then slow down. And, that's a little sad. And I want to be more in love with Jesus than ever, more zealous than ever, more active than ever in my pursuit of kingdom of God. In my upcoming decade of 30s, and I believe God's going to do a lot more through my life for more people, in my 40s, in my 50s, 60s, I hope to be able to say the same thing. Even in my maybe 70s, 80s, if my strength allows, I would love to be a grandma who could confidently say, I've given all of my life to Jesus in my full strength, steadfastly, without wavering. Everyone say steadfast.
Steadfast.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. I prepared some slides for you, so you're going to see some pictures today. A special treat, right? Throw up the first picture. This is a picture of Madame Huang. Many people know her as Madame Huang, Huang Samonim, but her actual name is Kim Kyungja, Kyungja Kim Samonim. She's one of my heroes. She was born in 1945, I believe. She's in her 70s. She is a visionary leader. She's the founder of NPWM, which stands for Native Partners for World Missions. And she is a woman that's called a mother or a mentor from hundreds of the native pastors that are in the nations. Out in Asia, Africa, you go with her, they all treat her like mama, my mother, my mentor. And she sowed into lives of so many people. She's a superwoman. She doesn't have jet lag. Even at her age, okay, she goes to America and comes back, she's fine. back up again for 5 a.m. early morning prayer. She goes to America. She doesn't skip a day. She's a woman, like, fully in love and also passionate with Jesus. And then I asked her about the jet lag thing, and she's like, I got no time to get jet lagged. I got to do the work for the Lord. And she really doesn't have time for that. And also, you know, she has to pass hundreds of these, you know, missionaries, and she's like, I'm too busy for that. And anyway, she's an amazing, powerful woman of God. And I really, from the deepest part of my heart, I honor her. If you know her, I'm sure you guys have the same heart for her. Next picture, someone so, so precious to me. Pastor Tarigan, obviously the one in the middle. He's a... Pastor Tarigan from Medan, Indonesia. He is, this picture is from 2010 when I had a short hair. And Pastor Erin, she looks the same, right? But this line that he always shares whenever I go to Indonesia, he always comes along and he kind of co-leads the trip and he translates for us. And he always says this line, it just kills me. And he says this, as long as I have breath in my lungs, I will serve the Lord. That's how he says it, guys. As long as I have breath in my lungs, I will serve the Lord. And something about the sentence, because he lives it out. He really means it. And it just hits so deep whenever he shares that. If you know Pastor Tarigan, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? Anyway, so Pastor Tarigan, he's another person that I deeply look up to. Third picture. If you've been in New Philly for a while, you may be able to recognize this person. Person on the left is Pastor Robert Daniels and his wife. He's the lead pastor of the City of the Lord Zion of Oakland, California. He was one of the guest speakers back in 2014 at our churchwide retreat. He's known to be like the pastor who's gone through so much that nothing shakes him. Nothing moves him. He just sits there in the presence of God for days, forgetting to eat. He just gets taken up to the heavenly place, and then nothing in this world is able to move him. Such a powerful man of God. And he's gone through horrible persecutions. I don't know all the details of the stories, but he has the most gentle spirit, yet the strongest spirit I've ever witnessed in a man that is alive. He's unoffendable. Nothing shakes him. No matter how hard Satan tries, he just has a deep inner peace and strength. Nothing bothers him. He just smiles. And he just releases truth. And he just imparts things upon people. Amazing man of God. So all these three heroes of faith that I have, they have something in common. They have served the Lord faithfully. Steadfastly. Everyone say steadfast. And it is my desire and desire, not just for me, but for you guys as well, to do the same, right? You don't want this Christian thing, church thing to be a thing of your 20s or 30s, but something that you did for a lifetime until the Lord takes you home or he comes back, right? We want to be able to say, I ran this race steadfastly. My walk with Jesus was very steadfast. So after, I guess, doing this for 10 years, living this life for 10 years, not to say that I was the most steadfast person. However, my desire for the next decade coming is I want to be steadfast. Not just as a big block of time, oh, for the 10 years I didn't backslide, I didn't do anything horrible. But like daily, I'm talking about weekly, monthly, annually, like small breakdowns of it all the way through. I want to be steadfast in my walk. And also in my character, in my beliefs. You know, I never want to waver from the place of faith. So if I were told to draw a line graph of my past 10 years, say one line to represent the circumstantial changes that took place, good and bad things, right? Things happen in life. And the other line to represent how I responded in my heart and how I responded, how I reacted or whatever. Okay, two lines. If I were told to draw this, reflecting the past 10 years, it would look like this. Show me the graph. Okay, I Googled this, so the letters have nothing to do with it. I just found something that I will have drawn. Sorry, guys. Oh, that's 2007, and that just doesn't... I didn't do that, okay. The red line graph It represents the circumstantial changes that took place. A lot of ups and downs, a lot of difficulties. Oh man, you guys know how life could be really difficult at times, right? Small and big, but you know, the red line represents, it says something about NASA, but don't read that. And my responses and my, my responses are represented also in the red line. I wish I could say the blue line represents my heart's response, but I really can't say that confidently. So in my early stages of walk with Jesus, like good thing happens, I'm happy. Bad thing happens, I crash, right? Doubts come, I'm like hitting the bottom, and then something good happens, and then I come back up. You know, the red line and the blue line, my response and the life circumstances, they just go together. You know, it's like go up and then go down, go up and down. It's like nothing like steadiness. Very humbling to say this, but praise God, I still grew. So if you look at it, even though it goes up and down, it still goes up, right? So purposely, I found something like that. But what I desire to have in me in a few years later, or maybe a few decades later, is that blue line. That's what I'm going for. No matter how crazy the red line goes, I want to be, in my heart, I want it to be just like the blue line. Very smooth, steadily going up, not being wavered, not being affected by the life circumstances that are always changing throughout days and weeks and months. We cannot predict it. We cannot stop it. It will happen. However, my heart, my soul is just so steady, and my response to the Lord is so steadfast. That's what I want to become. And I want to be able to hear stuff like, nothing moves her. She's just like Pastor Daniels. You know, wow, she's so anchored in her faith, just like Kim Kyung-ja Samonim. You know, things like that. Now, I'm talking about a big, huge block of time, but if you take a closer look at your own life or your own walk, you can take a look at like a 5-year block, right? Smaller, a year block. You can probably even draw something for yourself, reflecting on 2014, how that year was, how things went up and down, and how you responded in like blue line or something like that, right? Even like a quarter report sort of thing, like a monthly or week block, you could look at a closer look at how I am doing in response to how the circumstances are changing. And if you want a lifetime of steadfast walk with the Lord, I believe we must work on these smaller time blocks. If you want to build a strong house, you got to build strong walls. If you want to build strong walls, you got to have strong bricks, right? Just like that. If you want a lifetime, then you got to work on smaller time blocks. So if you want a walk that's steadfast for a lifetime, you got to work on your month, your whatever. You guys got that, right? And then it will build up, and then you will be, and at the end, you'll be dedicating a life that was really steadfast in Christ. So I looked up the definition, or more like synonym, of steadfast as an adjective. So to make it more fun, if you like this quality, I'm going to just call out a bunch of synonyms to this word steadfast. If you will like this quality in your future spouse or your current spouse, say, practice, if you want it, okay? If you don't want it, don't say anything. If you are sitting right next to your spouse, don't do it, okay? It will cause marital problems, I guarantee. Don't do it, okay? The definition is this, firm and unwavering. Oh, so good, all right? Let's go, synonym, steady, loyal, faithful, committed. Oh, ladies, I know you want this. Devoted. Dedicated. Mm-hmm. Reliable. Oh, yeah. True. Constant. This is good. Solid. Let's stay there a little longer. Solid. I know you're going to all say to this, so I'll just go through them. Firm, determined, relentless, single-minded, unchanging, unwavering, uncompromising. All at once. Really, really great qualities, guys. steadfastness is so attractive. Not just in a future spouse or anything, but just as a quality, everyone is drawn to steadfastness. You will want this quality in a friend. You will want this in your boss. You will want this even as spouse is given, even in a pet. That's why I love dogs, because dogs are so consistent. Right? Somebody's with me, right? Dogs always, without fail, you come home, they run to you. They don't give you a cold shoulder. They always welcome you with the wiggling tail. You know, it's always steadfast. You can expect the exact same response from the dog, your pet, than any other human being. They're so simple and the same, right? I love that about dogs. Anyways, so this is a great quality in anything or anyone to be around you. And steady heart and action is so it's like it just draws you in. Everyone loves people that are steady and unwavering, right? Nobody likes people that are inconsistent. Do you like being around them? I don't. But sometimes I'm the one that people don't want to be around. So it goes the same way, right? If you are with a mature person, with a mature person, they are steady no matter what comes their way. You know, not in a robotic, emotionless way. I don't care. Not like that. But they're unwavering in their character, in their love, in their action, in their beliefs. They are so steady. If you ever spend time with Pastor John Michael or Pastor John, they are like that. Yeah, the two white men. But it's not a race thing, guys. It's not a race thing. And some people also think it's a temperament thing. Temperament, if you are not aware, I will explain a little. But, you know, people think that the sanguine, choleric, and melancholic, and phlegmatics, if you are not aware, I'm sorry, I'm not going to explain everything. But you look it up at home. Sanguines tend to be really emotional. You know, they express themselves very freely. So when something's yummy, they're going to be like, oh, 맛있다! That's me, right? If you're going a hard time, you just show it to everybody, right? I'm having a crappy day. Don't talk to me. Those are typically sanguines. I'm talking about myself, okay? So don't be offended. Clerics are easily angered. They're very bossy, so they could be very goal-driven. So they could, like, ignore people that are around them because of the goal or the focus, whatever. That's also me, cleric. So don't be offended. I'm talking about myself. Melancholics, they tend to internalize a lot of things, and they don't quickly show emotions. Or they just have it, but then they don't necessarily like show it like sanguines do. Phlegmatics, I think they tend to notice things after everything passes. Kind of like they like, oh, that was a hard time. Oh, that was a tough season. I just realized 2 months later. Ironically, Pastor John Michael and John, both of them are very phlegs. Maybe that's why they are so like steadfast. But either way. But I honestly think that it's not just a temperament thing. I think temperament, it helps, definitely. But I'm not just talking about outwardly expressions of ups and downs. It's okay to express your emotions. If you're happy, be happy. If you're sad, be sad. That's fine. But I'm talking about the steadfastness of our hearts. How steady things are in there, in your soul. That's what I'm talking about. Am I wavered? Am I moved in my faith, in my beliefs, in my character? You know, that's what I'm talking about rather than just temperament differences. And steadfastness, I would like to say, is a quality that the world finds it's magical. Yeah, so it's really a magical thing. And world calls it magical, but I call it supernatural. It's something that Holy Spirit produces in a believer. It's a beautiful thing. And how can she have peace going through such a tough circumstances? You know, you ever like saw like older Christian ladies that just go through like a storm of the storms, and then they are at peace and they are just serving the Lord faithfully. They're not wavered in their faith. You know, going through sickness, going through family crisis, and they are so steady in their walk. I'm talking about that. It's supernatural quality that the Holy Spirit produces. And how is she able to rejoice and even praise God after what she has gone through? You know, she went through horrible things, and how can she say, praise God, my soul is well? This quality often brings non-believers to church. You know, no one I think this is such a powerful witness to the world that even when the world crumbles down, my soul is well and I am okay in Christ. And when we are able to show that through our lifestyle, when the world sees that, they find it magical. They see the supernatural power and they're drawn to Jesus, which is the anchor of the steadfastness. It's a powerful thing. The scripture tells us that steadfastness is a big part of maturity. Everyone here, as Christians, we are maturing. Some of us are less mature, new believers. Some of us are a little bit up there, but we're all together maturing into the image and the character of Jesus Christ. And steadfastness is a big part of that. James 1, 2 to 4, that's going to be my main text tonight. I have it on the screen, so let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Amen. Perfect and complete, it says, in Greek word, it's the same thing as mature, well-developed. So if you look at different translations, certain translations say mature, certain translations say well-developed, perfect, complete, it's all interchangeable. But it says you're not going to lack anything. If you develop steadfastness, and when it hits the full effect of the steadfastness, perseverance, other translations say, then you're going to be perfect, complete, mature, and you're not going to lack anything. This is pretty appealing to me, right? Growing in steadfastness and when it has its full effect and how we are maturing, this is something to pursue intentionally with all of our hearts. I mean, if the word of God says, if you have this, you're going to lack nothing, well, I'm going to go after that. I'm really just going to pursue this. And I really desire to be steadfast in the Lord. And I tonight want to share three different points about, maybe two, time pending, three things that I really believe will help us develop steadfastness. Everyone say steadfastness. First thing I want to mention is embrace the process. Embrace the process. It is to say, some people are just too hard on themselves that they don't even allow the process to begin. They are just too frustrated. They are hard on themselves. They believe everyone got there at once, and they wonder, why am I not there? Why am I not mature? Why am I not patient? What is wrong with me? And they pity party the whole time. When actually you just have to allow yourself to embrace the process. Nobody gets there at once. Nobody skips the process. Everyone has to go through it. It doesn't just happen. Overnight, I'm now finally mature. It's not like that. It's sanctification process, and you gotta give the Holy Spirit room to really nurture you in this area. It has to be developed. Babies are not steady. Do you guys agree? My best friend just had a baby about 8 months ago, and then I go see him every single week. He's very cute, but babies are not steady. They're not consistent. They are happy one moment and miserable next moment. You will notice they cry, and then you throw a snack into their mouth, and they're smiling all of a sudden, right? They're very inconsistent. It's because they are not mature. They need to develop how to control their emotions, and they got to control when to cry, when not to cry, and they're in the process of maturing. Kids are like that too. Even when they grow a little bit, like toddlers, they can't be happy until what they want is fulfilled. All the toddlers are like that, right? So you want this cup, then you either got to give it to the baby, or you just got to distract the baby to want something else. That's the only way to make the baby happy, or else he's just going to cry, right? None of you are familiar with babies, I guess, huh? That's all right. every human being has to learn to develop patience. And this quality is even shown in a very natural stages of development as babies and kids. And they become more and more steady as they grow. So, for example, early stage of maturing is, it's called gratification of desire. So babies, let's say, want a cookie, and the cookie's right in front of them. A 2-year-old will be like, I want it right now! And they're going to scream and cry, right? They cannot wait for the gratification. They just have no patience for it. I just gotta have it or kill me right now, right? So they are just gonna, not kill me, but they're just gonna like scream for it, you know, give me that cookie right now! And they're gonna cry until mommy gives to them, right? That's 2-year-old, right? 6-year-old, they matured, okay? They grew, they matured, and I want it now, but I can't wait. And they're gonna be pouty for like 30 minutes until they get it, right? Oh, a little bit of maturing, but not gonna be happy, like in the heart, until she gets the cookie, right? But it's a big process. It's a big step that a baby matured. 10-year-old girl will be like, I can go out and play while waiting for the cookie, mom. And then she will go out. She will actually hang out with her friends. And then she will come back and have the cookie, right? So she learned to wait for the gratification of desire. I want it now, but I don't have to have it right now. I can wait. Do you guys see that progress? If you have a high school kid who cries because he's hungry and there's no food in the fridge, you got a big problem in your hand. That kid did not mature properly, right? You see how gratification of desires, this is a very elementary but very important part of development. It's natural part of maturity. And I'm going to connect it to the spiritual growth as well later. Another stage of maturing, he's learned to deal with pain, trial, and suffering, all right? So prime example will be going to the dentist. So the dentist is like the fear of all fears, right, for the kids. You guys not like that? Am I only one here? Okay. I still don't want to go. 2-year-old will be like, I hate it. It hurts. Because she knows it's painful. She's going to scream and cry. 2-year-olds are all the same. 6-year-old baby will be like, it hurts. I know it. It's going to hurt. But hold my hand and give me a candy later. Then I will go through it. That's kind of like a 6-7-year-old will take it, right? And they're going to probably cry a little bit, sniff, sniff. 10-year-old will be, it hurts, but it's good for me eventually. This is very mature 10-year-old. Let's just say 28-year-old, okay? That's like where I am right now. It really hurts, but it's good for me eventually, so I would rather go now before I have to do like Luke Nell and all that stuff, right? 28-year-old, correction. Just like children going through these areas of growth and maturity, we do so as well as Christians. You know, when we are just entering the kingdom of God as new believers, we're like babies. We need milk. We can't eat solid food. So that's how the Bible describes us. We are baby believers, right? But the maturing process happens. So for example, delayed gratification part for adults that are full grown, but they are new believers. There are things that they will want, but then they can't get it right now. For example, sex. You gotta wait until you are married to have sex, but then they want to have sex. Then how do you reconcile that? You just gotta wait, right? It's called delayed gratification. So if a mature man or woman, yeah, but more like men, mature men will be like, I will wait until we are married. We'll keep the marriage bed pure, so we will wait. That's a mature man. That's great. I will deal with the delayed gratification. It's not like God's not going to give it to me. I will have it, right? But I will wait for you. Okay? That's good. But immature men will deal with it differently. They're just going to cross your boundaries and try to just get you into the bed, right? That's what immature men does. So this is an area of maturity that really has to develop. Are you guys with me? Another thing, budgeting. A lot of adults, they haven't learned how to budget properly. And they're like, I want those shoes. Oh my gosh. I don't have any money to eat. I don't care. I want it right now. And then if you just go in with the credit card, buys it, uh-oh. That's a sign of immaturity. That's something you need to deal with. Delayed gratification. It's not like I will never buy a pair of shoes forever. I will chamel this month. Like I will be without it this month, and when I have enough funds, I will go shoe shopping. That's a mature thinking. I'm okay with delayed gratification. You good? Or waiting for God's promises. Oh, God, you spoke to me about this promise, and it's coming so late, you know, and I'm waiting and waiting, and then you're having a hard time because you want it right now. God, you promised that a breakthrough will come. Where is it? Where is it? And you just can't wait for it. But that doesn't mean God's going to break the promise. It just means it's delayed. And the joy of God fulfilling his promises, he's not a liar. He will give it to you, right? If he promised it to you. So these are all connected to the spiritual maturity that takes place in a person, just like how babies grow. Dealing with stress and trials, pain, suffering, all that, it also connects to how adults grow as Christians. Interpersonal conflicts, nobody likes it. Nobody loves, I mean, some people do, confrontations. They find joy in it. I find them very weird. Going through financial crisis, high workload, dealing with a difficult coworker or boss or whatever it may be, whatever the situation, it's stressful, it's painful, it's suffering, it's trial, it's challenging for you, right? How you deal with those things, also, it's a process. It takes time. So if any adult, if you just got into your first job, okay, it's your first workplace, it will be difficult for anyone, right? Don't condemn yourself by saying, why am I so immature? You gotta let the process lead you there to the place of maturity. You know, you don't just give a baby solid food overnight. You gotta give the baby baby food and then mix a little bit of chicken or beef. And then, you know, little by little, the baby will eventually eat like rice and carby and whatever they want, right? But it takes process. So don't be so hard on yourself, not even allowing the trials. If you are so hard on yourself, you're going to end up crushing yourself by the self-frustration that you will feel. Wow, I'm so immature. I'm just such a failure. And you're not giving yourself that hope. So don't do that. If you are new to college life, it's going to be new. If you're new to the workplace, it's going to be new. If you just move to a new church, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be challenging. Allow the process to take you to the place of maturity. Amen? Do not be ashamed of the process. Go through it like everyone else did. And there is grace for you to go through it, and God's going to mature you through the process. Embrace the challenges and the process of maturing. It will be challenging. The Bible says trials, but count it all joy. Ridiculous, but it says count it all joy. Hallelujah, I'm growing. This is tough. It's good for me. You know, that's how we ought to deal with all these life problems. Don't try to get there at once, because it doesn't happen that way. Babies try to like run first day they stood up, or it's going to break their back, right? So don't try to get up and run all at the same time, because it's really going to harm you. But embrace the process and let the Lord lead you through the process. And I think if you're at a church where a lot of leaders are around you, you tend to catch up with them so quickly, and you just feel pressured to be there just like them, that you don't give yourself that grace to grow and mature. But that is a lie. You have enough room, enough space for you to make your own mistakes and grow from those mistakes. So don't ever rush the process. If you go through it well, but then you gotta go through it well, right? When you first go through it well and learn your lessons. And when you have the next job, when you move to the next place, you're gonna realize that, wow, I'm so much stronger, so much more stronger than before. Wow, I could endure a lot more than how I used to handle things. Oh, I could be a lot more patient than I used to be. And you're gonna realize that, wow, I grew through the process. When you're going through it, it's just going to be painful. It's just going to be like, I just want to get out of here. I just want to drop it and disappear. Everybody wants to go to like Hawaii or something, you know? You know, you just want to drop it and go, but I just want to go home. That's a typical response. But once you are done going through it, in retrospect, you're going to realize, wow, I am a lot more immovable. I am a lot more stronger. So even when I look back on my struggles that I went through, like, 2-3 years ago, only 2-3 years ago, if I go back 6-7 years ago, it's too ugly to share. But I remember this one time about 3 years ago at CGV, right before I went into a movie with my friends, I got a phone call from my boss. And my boss is wonderful. Boss is Pastor Christian, right? I just remember like talking to him. It was something to do with mugs, okay, mugs. We annually give leadership banquet. At leadership banquet, we give our leaders like a present, like a little gift. It's like our core value mugs, okay? Doing something related to the kingdom and core value of our church. I remember hanging up, I threw the phone on the floor. It was a carpeted floor. Praise the Lord. I mean, I threw it knowing that it was carpeted. I threw the phone and I yelled into the air, like into the thin air. There was nobody, right? I mean, strangers all over the place, but I threw it for the first time in my life, and I said something I shouldn't have said, okay? Just leave it at that, okay? I was like, yeah! And then I threw it, and I realized, oh, people are watching me. And I had to just cool down. But then now I try to, and there were like many episodes like that. It's not like it's the one time. I could recall like multiple dozens of them because of the same person, but yeah, you don't remember anything, right? Right? It's okay. I don't remember it either. So that's the point. So at that point, I felt like my world, my job was falling apart. My calling, this is Satan. Like, I just thought, this must be, like, not the Lord. All those thoughts went through my mind. And I thought, really, my world was crumbling down. I just wanted to, like, I was about to break under the stress. Have you guys ever been there before? You just can't think straight. But give it a couple years later, you look back, you try to remember what that was all about. You don't even remember, right? I mean, the 2-3 year thing mug, that's all I remember, but not the details, right? Oh, 5-6 years back, I don't remember why I was crying on the rooftop of Itaewon Sanctuary, you know, why I was contemplating, like, I'll stop there, but. So my point is, you know, in like 2 years, you're not even gonna remember. But right now, it just feels like life or death situation, you know, but give yourself some time, and you know that after this, I'm going to be so much more mature. I got to go through this and learn my lessons. If I go through this well, I'm going to be so much more stronger, so much more mature. You're going to be a steadfast person that you desire to be. Amen? Awesome. Second thing I wanted to share, it's just going to be 2-point sermon. Second thing I want to share is respond to the good news. If you're taking notes, that's what you want to write down. Respond to the good news. There is a saying, people are so busy reaching... One second. People are so busy reacting to the bad news that they forget to respond to the good news daily. Good saying, huh? I came up with it, guys. Write it down. So good. People are so busy reacting to the bad news that they forget to respond to the good news daily. I want to read it one more time, but I'll stop right there. What it means is everyone is busy and everyone is so faithful reacting to the bad news that happens here and there, right? But people forget to respond to the presence of the good news that they have in their daily lives. We notice things only when things go wrong. You never give thanks for the fridge until the fridge breaks. And then you have nowhere to store your food, right? You never give thanks for the fridge, but then once it's broken, you notice the problem right away. That's what our office is dealing with right now. So, you know, I never, like, thank God for a working fridge, but then once it's broken, you know it immediately. Some of you may do. I don't give thanks for my best friend every single day, but when something goes wrong with that best friend and the relationship is not well, you start to notice things right away. You know, it just bothers you. It's, you know, or anything, even your health. You know, you're not really paying attention to how your liver is functioning perfectly fine today. You know, did anybody think about that? How my kidneys are functioning so well that I went to pee 20 times today. Nobody does that, right? Right? When your heart is pumping the right way and your body temperature is steady, you never notice it until you have fever, until you have pain, until you have something wrong with it, right? So just like that, your finances, relationships, your health, anything, I think people only notice it when things start to go bad, and then they start to say, my life is falling apart. Oh, but that's only like one part of it, though. Hey, everything else is fine. Everything else is functioning normal. You're good. You know, it's just your finger. It's just that one relationship and 120 others are fine, and then you feel like your life is crumbling down. Your world is like falling away. So overdramatic. That's not true. Don't be too quick to only notice bad news. There are plenty of good things that are happening around you, and if you choose to notice them, your complaining will really lessen. Notice the good things and give thanks and give praise to the Lord. It says, you are my Lord. I have it on the slide. You are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. Psalm 16:2. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. James 1:17. And you will always find good things in your life, no matter what you are going through. A lot more steady. These good things are a lot more steady than the bad things that comes and goes. But your focus is always on, oh, this happened, or finally went away. But what about the steady good things, the goodness of God that's been displayed in your life all along, not just one broken fridge, but everything else that's working fine, right? It's all your perspective. Praise God for that. I mean, this is a verse that I've been meditating a lot throughout the year. Psalm 112, verse 7. I preach this actually at one of the orphanages that I visit every year. I preach to the kids about this verse, okay? They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. It's because I started to have bad dreams and bad imaginations or daydreams about bad things happening to my life. Health, family, I guess those are the areas that are most vulnerable in my heart. So whenever I hear about something bad news happens to someone else, I start to think about, oh, what if that happens to me? How would I respond if it happened to me? You know, I will always entertain these thoughts and I'll be like, no. I don't want to think about it. And it will just bring fear into my heart. And it says they will have no fear of any bad news because their hearts are steadfast, because they trust in the Lord. What kind of news are you afraid to hear? Getting fired? I don't know. Pay cut? Relationships not working out? I don't know. There could be many, many different things. Some more heavier than others. Some more serious than others. But however, there's no bad news that outweighs the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's got to be our anchor. Like no matter what, how bad things may go, the good news that I have in my heart of Christ's love outweighs the weight of the bad news. That's the only reason why, no matter what bad news I hear, my heart is steadfast because I trust in the Lord. And He is good and He's never going to leave me. The Bible never tells us that nothing bad will ever happen to you. No, things will happen. Life brings things and you will go through your own share of trials. Don't think that life will be rosy and all is going to be fine. No, it will get tough and the bad news will come. But the key is you got to know that goodness that I bear in my heart, the cross of Jesus Christ, it outweighs it. It's weightier than the bad news that come my way. That's the only way you're able to overcome all these things. And there's a song, a famous hymn. It's called It Is Well With My Soul. How many of you are aware of the song? 내 영혼 평안하네? 평안해? I don't know. It's the first hymn that I ever learned because I came into church, kind of late. And story, in summary, this person who wrote the song, Spafford, I don't know how to say his name, he was a lawyer. He was rich in properties. He owned a lot of properties in Chicago in 1800s. 1871, Great Chicago Fire happened, and he lost most of his properties. It was all burned to ashes. And immediately after, his family was planning on going on a trip to Europe, and then he had to take care of his businesses and, all the leftover stuff. So his family, his wife and four daughters, went to travel to Europe first. On the way, the ship crashed. There was a collision, and then the family, four daughters actually died from that accident. And then there's a famous telegram that the wife sent to him. It says, saved alone, it says, right? So to the grieving wife, on the way to Europe to meet her, he wrote this song. On the way to meet his grieving wife, he wrote this as the ship was approaching the area where his daughters died. And the lyrics are, it's not believable. It commands his soul, oh my soul, praise the Lord. I have the lyrics actually on the slide, but it's old English, but he pretty much says, nothing can undo what Christ's love did for me, what his blood did for me. So this bad news is really bad. He's not saying what I'm going through is light. He's not saying what I'm going through is not significant. He lost four of his daughters and he says, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Yeah. This man knew that the good news that he had was so much bigger than the tragedy that happened. The bad news that he heard, the good news of Jesus Christ was so much bigger, so much louder to him. The other day, I just had a revelation. I will end with this, that you know how Bible commands us to magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord, you know. And I was just wondering, God, but you're as big as you get. You know, you're the biggest thing in this entire universe. And how, can, if I say magnify the Lord, do you get bigger? You know, it's kind of like I lift your name on higher, but you're at the highest place ever possible. And when I say that, do you go higher? And I was just wondering and conversing with the Lord, and I realized that it's kind of like me as a child holding up a magnifying glass. And I look at the Lord, and when I say magnify the Lord, my soul, I'm saying, you put a magnifying glass on like a book, the book doesn't actually get bigger. What gets bigger is how I see the book gets bigger. So your perspective of God, how he is so big. When you say magnify the Lord my soul, realize how big, how powerful he is in your life. That when he gets so big, you get overwhelmed by his majesty and you realize, oh, my problems are so small. This momentary troubles, Apostle Paul says, it's light and momentary suffering, he writes. And that's when you get to realize suffering, trial, things that we go through in this life, it's really nothing compared to how big he is. So we got to have the perspective. We got to magnify the Lord, church. We got to realize how big he actually is. And we got to perceive him as he is. And when you do that, whatever struggles that you're going through, whatever problems and trials that you're going through, I'm not here to say those things are nothing. I know it's tough, but it's not in vain. God is using it for his eternal glory, and God's going to build you into a mature, complete man and woman of God that you're going to be, you're going to lack nothing. It's not in vain. Suffering is not in vain. God is receiving eternal glory from all of this. Just want to pray for us. I just sense that there are a lot of people that are going through transitions. And when you are in a new environment, often it's very tough. And you feel very alone. And you feel very frustrated that you're not growing at the speed that you would like to grow. And I just want to encourage you. And I just want to pray over you. And also the frustration that you feel in the process. And I just feel the grace to let it go. You got to let it go. And you need hope. I'm not just going to suffer and suffer and suffer, but you know, you're maturing, you're growing, you're getting stronger, you're becoming more of an adult, you're letting go of your childish ways, and God is doing so much more than you see. You are growing, church. Spiritually, you're growing. As an adult, you're growing. And I know that some of you in this room, you just got your first job, and you know, you've been going out to work every day and something new to you, and I just want to encourage you, you're doing great. You really are. And God is very, very pleased with you. And through all the trials, God is building you into someone. Father, my prayer tonight is what Apostle Paul wrote, that for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. God, troubles are trouble. Life gets tough. But Lord, we choose to focus on how big, how loving, how steady, steadfast you are to us. Your love is something that we will never trade for anything. God, life brings bad news, but we will not fear. Whatever it may be, whatever area it could be, God, we will not fear because we are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Father, I just declare that in this room, our confession from the bottom of our heart, no matter what happens, God, it is well with my soul.
God, let the power of the gospel and the good news overtake all the bad news we could possibly hear. And Lord, let us overcome with the blood of Jesus Christ and the testimonies of the saints, God. Lord, let us be reminded of the victory of all the saints that have gone before us. Let us be encouraged tonight. And Lord, let us live the steadfast life that we desire to live for you. We give our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and all of our lives to you, God. Father, we want to serve you. We want to love you. We want to fall in love with you deeper and deeper. So Lord, guide us throughout our lives to be steady, to be steadfast with you and in you, Lord. Father, we give you praise. We magnify you today. We choose to see you rightly tonight. We magnify your name, Jesus. We magnify what you have done on the cross tonight. Father, we magnify it. We want to see the majesty of it, the power of it, the beauty of it tonight, God. So, Lord, we magnify you. In Jesus' name we pray.